What's going on, everybody? It's another episode of Detroit Chess Killers Podcast. I'm on here with my homeboy Tim Spike and Joseph Gass. So what's going on, fellas?
What up?
What up? What up?
Over the weekend, this past Saturday, we had, I think, one of the best tournaments in the city of Detroit. It was called the Return of the Titans Chess Tournament, which had an invitational in the open section and a side blitz event featured after the tournament. I participated in the tournament. Joseph participated in the tournament. My boy Tim Spike was the TD. Y'all want to speak on it?
Go ahead, Joe.
I mean, all around, it was a struggle. Like, because I was a part of helping recruiting and everything. But Derek and Tim pretty much put the whole tournament together. But it was a struggle from the start. Like, just, communicating with players, trying to make it as strong as possible. Had a couple people hop in, hop out, hop in, hop out. Y'all know how that goes. But I think the end result, we had a good tournament. I mean, the invitational, for instance, me and Derek, I think we played three games against Masters. And then, like, I believe all the Masters pretty much played, like, three games against Masters. So it was, like, good comp all around. So I think it was, like, a win-win for everybody. Like, even, like, the two FMs we had, Josh and Rohan, like, they were satisfied. They was like, it was a strong tournament. Even though it was only six players, four rounds, I think everybody was satisfied, though. Then you had the under section. I'm sorry. Which was one by Al. Al still held it down. 4-0. You had a couple of youngsters up and coming. You had AR in there. You had Mikhail in there. The Nicholas dude gained about 150 points in that section. So I think he about 1,500 now. I think it was a good all-around tournament.
Tim, what you take from it?
Yeah, I like the fact that it was a grassroots effort. We pretty much promoted this tournament word of mouth, face-to-face, and definitely on social media. But, the tournament, we weren't able to get it on a very popular tournament registration site called onlineregistration.cc. We wasn't able to get it on there soon enough. So, regardless of that, like I said, like, it was a great turnout, very strong tournament, all the way around, in my opinion. I would have loved to see a lot more people because, some of our estimates, we had, a lot higher numbers. But definitely for the turnout for our first tournament that we've ever attempted to throw, I think it was a definite success. I will also say this too, like, this tournament, I believe, did a lot for the chess community because, besides the actual people competing in the tournament, there were so many people, members of the chess community, connected to the community, that actually came by, whether it was for 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or longer, just to kind of see what was going on. Be around it and, just show love. Like, so many players from our past that, we haven't seen or I haven't seen in years. Kareem Coleman comes to mind. It was just like to me, just like I said, just something that I felt just really did wonders, not only as far as, like, people getting to, play against tough competition, but, like, kind of helping bringing the community together. And also, by the way, introducing them to the new All the King's Men Chess Club and Supply Store too, which is where we held it at.
Yeah, I agree.
Man, y'all soft, man. Let's talk about who should have played. That was their playing Skittles that I was pissed off about.
Man, we ain't gonna talk about Mick and Bill, man. Like, we ain't gotta throw names under the bus. I mean, we don't gotta. They didn't play for whatever reason. They didn't play.
I'm not talking about Bill. Bill retired from chess. So I wasn't expecting Bill, maybe in the blitz, but I wasn't expecting Bill Carton to play in the Invitational.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like, people don't, I always have this thing where, regardless of what the time control is, the prizes, if people want to sit down and play some chess against tough competition, they're going to play it free or whatever, I think this is a good event where if you're trying to better your game, you're trying to get better, you're trying to tighten up for, like, I took it as, me personally, I'm trying to tighten up for the Chicago Open, which I consider, like, my key event. Well, my second key event, because I figure the world is more key because there's more money involved. So, like, this event, I took it as I'm going to tighten up for Chicago, then tighten up again for the world. So, if you ain't trying to improve your game and play, like I said, I played FM Josh. First round, I played Morrow, who was like 2,300 USDF. We don't even know how strong this dude is, because he just got off his provisional race. So we really don't, he could be 2,500. We don't know what he is right now. But I played Morrow, good game. Then I played Derek, it was a good game, we drew. Then I played Manis, which you don't know what to expect from Manis. Manis has been a master for like 15 years, and he plays every opening. He's like, you don't know what this, he played D4. I never even seen Manis play D4 in my life. Then I played Josh last round. Third round, yeah. I ended up playing Josh. Wait a minute. I played Josh third round. I played Manis last round. I'm sorry. But that was a good warm-up tournament for me. So if those people don't want to warm up and play strong comp, then, they lost. I mean, I had half a point, and I felt like I won.
Man, I kind of see it a little bit differently. I kind of see it like this, bro. At the end of the day, you kind of got two types of people in this world. And those are the people who, if they see a swimming pool, you know what I'm saying, you got those that's going to jump in it, and you got those that's going to come up to it and stick their toe in. Yesterday, I felt like we had a lot of people in our community who just came by to stick their toe in. You know what I'm saying? Like, we found out who was the ones that was willing to just dive into a tournament and those who was trying to stick their toe in, bro.
We'll put that name out there.
Bro, you know me, man. I'm always with the controversials, bro. So, some straight toe tappers, bro, was Dominic Johnson. That's the homie. Well, all these the homies, but Dominic Johnson, he hung around the tournament for quite some time, and he did not opt to play, although, you know, he was leaning in, leaning out, very indecisive. I mean, you up here hanging out, man. Why not play? It's not like, you know, the entry fee was nothing, breaking the bank or nothing. You know what I'm saying? We even had a combined discount. Like, you could have played in both the Game of 30 tournament.
Well, tell him like he was. He was going to play when he thought he was in what section?
When he thought he was going to be in the invitational section, he thought he was going to play. But I personally didn't think that it would be fair to the other invitational players. You know, we got two 2,400s, 2,300, 2,200s. Like, we got masters and experts, you know. And so we basically decided to draw the line at 1,900, you know, which I think is pretty fair.
Hey, Phil. I see what you're saying, but I don't mean to cut you off and be rude, but fuck all that. Like, we talking about somebody that's very irrelevant. Dominic Johnson is not a relevant Detroit Chess fan. So he don't even count in my opinion. So, not to cut you off, but, like, you think about the open section we have. When we always talk about the best of Detroit, you hear all these names mentioned. And I'm going to give Jimmy a pass because Jimmy personally told me he's chasing FIDE points. He'd rather play in FIDE ready to opponent tournament. So, understand that. But the thing about Jimmy's not running around claiming he's the best in Detroit. He's the top killer, all this. But all these other dudes, Brooke, Irv, Slick Mick, Minibus, like all these black, strong experts, they don't step up when these Canadian Masters and other FMs come. It was two African-American players on the Invitational. It was Derek Wilder and it was Joseph Gaston.
That's
both
true.
Of us took a lot of time off from chess. Recently got back into it. And we're pretty much only two experts in that section in battling. But all these people who swear they're the king of Detroit are nowhere to be found. And it's a $30 tournament. It's unacceptable. That's why when we have these debates, I don't mention none of them names. I say Dexter is best, and I say Jimmy is the best. Them other cats, Irv, Flick Mick, John Brooks, Minibus, none of them, they don't exist to me. Because when it's time to step up, I never see them step up. And I'm sorry. If it hurts some feelings, I'm sorry. But that's how I feel about them. That was a perfect tournament for them to actually step up and represent. It's thrown by two African-Americans. This is probably the first tournament that two African-Americans are through, besides Big G tournament. And we don't get the support from our top-level African-American players. But they walk around, they want to sit here and beat on babies and blitz games and take $2 and $3 a game. But when Josh and Rohan from Canada and Morrow and Manny is standing right there in their face saying, what's up? And they walk away, they'll never be the top in Detroit. Never.
Well, John did play in the blitz, man.
I don't care about the blitz. We talking about standard time controls. You want to claim you the top in Detroit? Claim it when a real killer show up. Stand on that front line. Don't tell you the top in Detroit because you have McDonald's beating up on 1600 and 1700.
Man.
Don't tell me you the top of Detroit when you showing up when it's 2400 rated FMs there.
So, my take on this is there's nothing that I can say to amplify or to top what Joe Gadsden is saying right now. The fact that this is coming to everybody that's listening to this podcast from Joseph Gadsden, okay, one of Detroit's finest, right? Detroit legend, okay? Chess killer all day. The fact that it's coming from him and he's the one that's putting it on wax, listen, man, like I said, there's nothing I can say, bro. What he's saying, what he's speaking on this, bro, that is a direct flamethrower to everything that's going on the chess scene right now. So I mean, I just want to give you back the microphone, bro, man, and keep telling everybody how you feel.
I mean, that's completely how I feel, man. We telling everybody we got this strong event coming up, all these masters. Me and Derek was the only non-masters in that section.
Right. And it wasn't they was all personally invited.
Yeah. So as far as I feel, when you're talking about Detroit Chess, don't mention none of them names before you mention me and Derek. Like, don't mention none of them names to me no more because they're irrelevant to me. They honestly are.
Yeah,
I even set up a challenge. I would set up a game in 30, 2 versus 2. Me and Derek versus any two black players in Detroit. Minus James Kennedy. Any two other, if you want to go get Brooks and Irv, or Brooks and Mitch and play versus me and Derek in a 5-game standard match, I put my money up on me and Derek because they don't have no heart.
Let's go. Let that sizzle in y'all's spirit.
No heart.
Let that marinate like neck bone juice.
Yeah, man. Sweet, sweet neck bone nectar.
I'm sorry. Am I the only one that feel this way? Did I see no heart from no heart.
Man, I've been feeling like this way too, man. But like you said, man, people gonna kind of take my word, you know, one way or the other. But like I said, when you got somebody who's certified, verified, bona fide, you know what I'm saying, killer, you know what I'm saying, in the community like that, and who done put it down on a high level for decades, that's actually, like I said, being the one to address this, you know what I'm saying, on the airways, bro. To me, that's untouchable. And that's, like I said, that's more than I could ever say or express on that. But yeah, I think if you are one of the top players, bro, and you are neglecting to get into the ring for what reason or another, like what they do in boxing, bro. Don't they tell you, hey man, you gotta give us that title back, bro?
Exactly.
You can't hold on to that belt if you're not defending it.
Exactly. I mean, it's no excuse. We had an FM come from Canada who has a 2400 FIDE rating, which basically says he has the rating to be considered a FIDE IM. He just doesn't have the norm. So we basically have an IM from Canada that was willing to cross the border for a $30 tournament, but you got guys that live 5-10 minutes away, can't make it.
Can't make it.
And if you think about it, in the black community in Detroit Chess, We have like 10 or 15 experts. We had one show up. No offense to Derek, he'll be an expert soon, but we had one expert show up.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 10 or 15. And we don't have too many masters in Michigan. Well, four of them managed to show up. Four out of the, I'd say 12. I think we have maybe 12 masters in Michigan. Because I think Jimmy's like ranked 11th and he's like 2250. So let's say 15. We have 15 masters in Michigan. Four of them was able to show up, one from Canada. But out of the 10 or 15 black experts we have, one shows up. But they sit around arguing who's the best in Detroit and who's the king, who's the best killer. But when you bring in outsiders, nobody wants to stand up. This tournament was held 1 mile outside of Detroit.
That's it.
1 mile, literally. So yeah, you want to call out Dominic and them other little babies? No. Call out these real people who's out here claiming that they're the best and they're the best ever. And these are good players. I'll take nothing from them. John, Irv, Mick, all of them, they're good players. But don't claim that title if you're not going to defend it. Don't claim that title. Don't let me hear you say you're the best. Don't let me hear you say you're the best in Detroit.
I know what you're saying, but some people still going to... Some people, not all people, they're going to say, well, I didn't make it to the regular tournament, but I played in the Blitz. And Josh, just listen, Josh, Morrow, Rohan, all participated in the Blitz, even though Josh still won. So some people are going to feel like, well, I was still competing.
Derek, what time do I get off work?
1 o'clock? 2?
11 p.m. at the early.
Right.
On a Friday night. That tournament started at 12 noon on Saturday. So it's safe to say, while I was still at work, everybody you named was at home chilling. Everybody had the same advance notice. I was able to go to work, work late. Then I told you I had something to do after work. I didn't get home until 4 a.m. And I still managed to make it to the tournament. It's no excuses for them. It's no excuses. They didn't want to play. They were scared to play.
No, so what you saying, the Blitz tournament didn't hold no weight Saturday?
They don't hold no weight at all.
And I want to throw this out here too, man. It's not like a lot of these people were doing different things. A lot of them were playing chess while we were playing in a chess tournament. Like, some of them were even there, but literally right next door playing chess while the tournament was going on. Like, that was the thing that was crazy to me. Like, you can't participate or you won't participate in the actual tournament, but you'll be here or you'll be nearby. And literally the thing that you're doing is playing chess, the thing that we're doing. Like, that's what I couldn't really wrap my head around too, man. I was just like...
All I'm saying is, as far as I can call it right now, don't talk to me about them old heads no more. The kings of Detroit right now is James Candy, Cam Tolliver, me, and Derrick Wilder. No, the other motherfuckers, they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant
now. Josh stay in Detroit now, man, so he's top dog.
I'm talking about the brothers, but yeah, Josh definitely was top dog. I mean, that's...
He told me, keep having these tournaments, he's going to keep getting this free money.
I mean, seriously, we had two IMs that made less money than they would have made if they stayed at home and just gave lessons. If both of them would have just stayed at home and maybe did one or two lessons, they'd have made more money than they made in that tournament.
Right.
But they see what we're trying to create, and they was willing to support. You know, that's why I give the most praise to, like, Josh, Rohan, Morrow, and Manis.
Well, Manis play anything.
Because we didn't even, like, do you remember having to pull anybody arm to play? It was just as simple as you want to play? Yeah.
Yep.
But when we got to deal with our brothers, it's, oh, let me sleep on it. I got to think about it. Let me check in with the wife. Let me see if I, man, get the fuck out of here. If you want to play, you going to play. You know what I'm saying? You want to play, you going to play.
What they say, man, people make time for what they want to make time for.
Yeah. And me and Derek knew who was coming. Me and Derek knew Rohan, Josh, we like, shit. I'm like, I donate 30 just to play them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to donate 30.
I mean, of course we were trying to win, but like...
Bro, we had somebody donate 50.
Yeah, we did.
Come.
Yeah, shout out. What's his name? Anthony the Clarks that came from. What was their name? Came from Toledo.
Zachary Clark and Anthony Clark came to us from Ohio, all the way from Ohio to play. father and son, man. That was like a huge love.
And they both was unrated.
Right. They both was unrated. This was their very first tournament. They actually had never, ever played a USCF rated tournament. But they decided to make their tournament experience as a father and a son together. They decided to drive up and have that tournament experience together at our tournament. Like, so that was actually really touching to me, man. That really meant a lot. And also, we had a gentleman by the name of Rockwell Horton. He is very active on social media, on Facebook in particular, with Chess. And, you know, he told us that, you know, he's out of state, but he's a truck driver. He's like, hey, man, I'm coming. You know, if there's somewhere I could park my rig, man, I'm coming up there. But unfortunately, you know, something happened and he couldn't quite make it. But like I said, he even just reached out to us and just donated $50, you know, off the strip of, you know, he loved the fact that we was holding this event. So that was real love right there too, man.
Man, let's get to it. Let's talk about me beating me a national master, man.
Bruh.
Tim, what I do when I want.
Tell man, listen, man.
Most unsportsmanlike shit ever.
It kind of was, man, but I couldn't even be mad at him. You know, like, he won the game, man. This dude stood up from the table. Yeah, man, hell yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like, fist bumping his chest and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Chest bump and all that. And I'm just like, dog, you good, man? Is everything all right? He's like, yeah, you know? And, it was like probably for a good 5 minutes. Couldn't nobody approach him or tell him nothing, bro. Like, I'm looking back at his opponent's face, and I'm just like, oh, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was some kind of, you know what I'm saying? Some kind of crunchy feelings on the other side. But, you know, that's Chess, man. Chess is an emotional roller coaster. And sometimes, you know what I'm saying, when you are able to achieve a huge victory, or, you know, right after you just suffer, you know, a huge defeat, man, you know, those could be some of the highest times or some of the lowest times of your life. And so,
let me explain this. It wasn't like I was trying to be disrespectful or rude to Madness.
Right.
It was just I had to get that monkey off my back. You know how close I've came to beat National Masters and always coming short.
Right.
So when I saw the opportunity to come, you know what I'm saying, and I went up the rook, you know, I forgot I was winning Madness. You know what I'm saying? Take me to the king.
Right.
You know, and I did apologize to him, you know what I'm saying, after the, you know, the tournament. He understood where I was coming from.
Right. I was just about to say that, too.
Yeah, it was just in the moment. You know what I'm saying? I'm there, you know. I beat experts before, but I've never beat a national master. So I was just like, I'm home, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Heck yeah.
Even though he put that 20 on me in the blitz.
Oh, then he gave you the two-piece and the biscuit, right?
Yeah, he gave him the two-piece biscuit. He got the Cajun rice. He got a jalapeno pepper.
But let's talk about that.
He put the honey in the bag. He put a couple of ranch dressings up there.
He gave some ketchup here and he ordered french fries.
He gave him
the whole store, dog.
He gave him a spork or two.
But let's talk about how good of a sport I was. He had a checkmate set up, and instead of me resigning, you see what I'm saying? I allowed him to get his mate off on me.
True.
And it was a cold mate, and I sat there and took it in the face strong.
Pause. Can't be talking about taking it in the face.
I'm just saying. So it wasn't like
strongly.
You know what I'm saying?
Strong.
No bad, you know, sportsmanship. You know, he too old me in the blitz, even though I got him in the regular. Then I turned around and dropped the piece against Moro Lopez.
Bruh. I'm sorry, man, but I'm still thinking about how Joe just took a whole bunch of people buffs back, man, from Detroit Chess, bro. I'm going to need these buffs back. I'm going to need these buffs back.
Man.
You can keep yours. I need these buffs back.
Get on some aviators, man.
Some of them aviators is nice, boss.
He said he got a...
They ain't the buff, though. The buff got that Detroit staff on it. The aviators, okay. They can be from California. They can be from wherever they want to
be. Let me ask you a question, though. Mm-hmm. What chess player you could actually see wearing some buffs? Don't none of them look like no buff-wearing dudes anyway.
Hell no. Them Detroit ones, though. Right. They don't got their buffs no more, man. They got to earn them buffs.
They just got unbuffed live and direct.
So let me ask you a question. Some people don't say this.
Debuffed.
Some people felt like, why would I play in the regular tournament where I could play into the Blitz where the odds kind of favor me?
Because everybody and their mama and their sister and their brother know that the real weight and the real evaluation of any serious chess player is going to be their regular tournament, or you could call it classical tournament performance rating and history. Blitz is always kind of going to be looked at as like a little redhead stepbrother of actual classical chess. And whether that's a popular opinion, unpopular opinion, that's pretty much just the way it is until, I don't know, until it changes.
But you saying my 2000 Blitz rating don't hold no weight.
That don't mean shit.
Do they give titles for Blitz ratings?
Hold on. Let me jump in. 1 second. Let me jump in real quick. This is a perfect example. Like, we hear the NBL podcast, and they literally just jump on Daniel Jones' case because he's the greatest ever. Like, he's beat GMs and Blitz, whatever. But he's never beaten the master in the standard. That's why, when they be saying that stuff, I be like, he hasn't done nothing. Like, nothing at all. Like, to prove that praise. And I've been saying this about, I hate to say it, some of our own, like the Irv and these other guys. Like, they haven't done nothing to prove that praise. You haven't even beaten a master in standard.
Hold up, stop, sir. You're saying Daniel Jones, the one they call a guy, haven't beat nobody over 2,200?
Yeah, I think his highest rated opponent that he beat was like 2,100. Like, whoop-dee-doo. Like,
21 what?
I don't know. 2,100. It's not a master. You know, they don't have a title. They don't have that certificate out. So it doesn't even matter.
So you're saying they false claim it over there in Chicago?
Definitely false claim. Like they calling this man God. They doing all this other extra shit. And it's like, I beat GMs and Blitz before when I was a teenager.
Yep. I've heard some of the story. What was you playing on? ICC and
ICC? Dark Tom Ernest? US Chess Live? I've beaten plenty of GMs and Blitz before. Let's say as a teenager, that don't mean shit to me. I can't beat Larry Christensen in real life.
Name drop.
Yeah, fuck him though.
So you saying it's blasphemy over there in the NBL?
Yeah, it's blasphemy. They sitting here praising this dude and he ain't doing nothing. Like, at least Remy, like I actually, when Remy went out to, North American Open, Remy, like, I think he beat like 3 straight Masters, then drew 3 straight, and he lost last round. He ended up with like 4.5. And I sent Remy a message, like, I know this ain't the result you wanted, but, like, that's a good showing, dude. Like, keep it up. You know, like, I respected that. But then, that's literally how I found out Jones never beat the Master. I go to Jones, that he ain't even beat the Master. And his homeboy, who he be talking about, Remy is his fish, he be beating Remy down and Bullet and all this other stuff. But Remy beat 3 Masters and drew 3 Masters in 1 tournament. You haven't beat one your whole life. So it's like, bro, come on now. And they say crazy.
Bro, this should real be the this real should be spicy. The tell us how you really feel, Joe Gasser podcast.
No, I mean, because I really feel this way about a lot of people, because a lot of, like, I'm okay with losing. I have no problem with losing. None at all. But when people start talking all this big boy talk, like I said, like, I'm calling out my own players. Some of the Detroit players, some of the Chicago players, they're doing all this big talk. But when it's time to step up to the big stage, we go to the Chicago Open. If you look at the Open section, it's a bunch of Chinese kids, it's a bunch of Indian kids in the Open section. You'll see 3 Black players. You'll see a Josh Colas, you'll see a Justice Williams, and you'll see this year a James Caney. Where's the other Black players at?
Nah,
they in the Skittles room talking about how great they is, but in the big scheme of things, they ain't shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not trying to hear all this little talk about how y'all the greatest Blitz and all this other shit. Do some stuff on the big stage. Do some stuff on the big stage when it matters. Anybody can be beating Blitz. Anybody can be beating Lightning. I don't know, 1300 in Lightning.
He dissing my win against Rohan.
Hey, man. Let's just call a spade, bro. Blitz is fun. Blitz has become very popular. Blitz is, you know, there's a lot of positive aspects that comes out of Blitz. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but it's no measuring bar.
but that's what I'm saying. But when it comes, when you stack it up against classical, bro, in a lot of people's opinions, and I think rightfully so, it's kind of always going to be falling a little bit short, bro.
It always does.
And like, I was just about to propose this question. Agree or disagree? Blitz chess is maybe more akin to bug house chess than classical chess. Agree?
No, not even close.
You don't want to go that far?
Here's my opinion on it. And Derek said something earlier about Fischer Random. They ain't chess. I feel like, personally, any version of chess is chess. I just feel like it shouldn't be the measuring bar. Like, I think blitz helps your game. I think bullet helps your game. I think bug house even sharpens your tactics a little bit. Even though, like, in real chess, you can't just find a knight in the middle of, you know, the air and place it anywhere. But I think, like the mating schemes and patterns you're trying to set up, like, you might recognize that one day, you know?
How about
like
this?
Like a knight and pawn rook mate.
How about
you
this?
You set up a bug house. You might recognize that over the board. So I think it helps your chess, but I just don't think it should be the measuring part. You shouldn't, just because this person is great at blitz, doesn't mean they're great at slow. Like, slow is the measuring point. Like
I said, I think, man, you agree or disagree. Blitz is like a spinoff of chess.
No, bro.
I don't think it's a spinoff. I think it's just a faster version.
So you don't think that blitz could be considered as almost like a gimmick for chess?
No, I don't think it's a gimmick at all.
Okay. I'm just trying to see how far y'all trying to go with it. I'm just trying to see.
Okay, so here's my thing. I say blitz would be like, if you compare it to basketball, it would be like 21.
Bro, you just proved my point, bro. 21 is like trash compared to professional basketball.
let's just say it's like the summer league,
bro. Bro, 21 ain't even got a lot of the same rules. Like, you can like double and travel a lot of times depending on what hood you playing in.
No, I mean, you can't really double and travel.
Hello?
No, I'm still here, man.
I think Joe was saying something, but it got interrupted.
All I'm saying is, man, I think blitz is like the G League or the Summer League of chess. You see what I'm saying? I still think classical holds this.
Bro, you still kind of proved my point, though, man. The G League of Summer League of chess?
I mean, they still get paid.
Okay, bro, so they still get paid, but they are far inferior levels. They're far inferior brands, far inferior respect associated with them. Let me put it like this.
I'm not making no sides. But yeah, like Joe said, John didn't play in the regular tournament, but he came and competed in the Blitz tournament. In the Blitz tournament, you still had Rohan, you still had Josh, you still had Moro, Manis. He came in second. You see what I'm saying? I'm not making no excuses for him.
Bro, let me ask you this.
Listen, this is what I'm saying.
I'm back.
My tournament, I organized it. All I'm saying is, okay, he didn't make it, but he still competed. My issue is with the players who came and didn't compete at all. So I'm not going to throw too much shame at, you see what I'm saying?
For sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I definitely would give a nod to those that played in one aspect, you know, over none. But what I'm kind of talking about is, like, let's say, okay, if you're talking about chess, right, in terms of, like, cola, like, let's say classical chess is like your classic Coca-Cola, okay?
This boy got the worst analogies ever.
What would that make blitz chess?
Pepsi.
Heck no.
Nah.
Heck no, bro. Pepsi get way more respect.
I'm gonna give you an example.
Let me say.
We have Mick, right? Mick comes in the tournament while I'm playing Rohan, right?
Right.
Laughing at me. Oh, Derek, you got crushed. Yeah, I lost I got positionally squeezed by Rohan. Mick told me he was going to play in the Blitz tournament, right? He comes while the Blitz tournament is going on. Don't play. But when the Blitz tournament is over, him and John going at it for two. How you think I feel?
Not good.
You could have just played in the Blitz tournament. You probably still would have played John.
But that's the thing. Joe pretty much put it out there. Like, some of these cats is scary. And like I said, if I'm saying it, it probably don't mean too much. But the fact that Joe Gatson is out here saying it, I think that means a lot.
I'm going to give Irv a break, too, because Irv contacted me. And he was on his way down there. But he said, you know, because remember I came to you, remember?
Yeah, you said if we could start it earlier, he would be able to participate. Because
he was a busy man. But his intentions was never to play in the regular tournament.
Right. I think that kind of goes back to my previous example, though.
Cass is simply just running from the clock.
Yeah, man.
They just know they fast. They can set up a little BS troops and win. They just running from the clock. That's all it is.
But, man, to answer my previous question, bro, Blitz Chess, I think, would probably be like Dr. Thunder compared to Coca-Cola.
No, bro.
I don't even know what Dr. Thunder is.
Mr. Pibb.
His light skin coming out,
Mr. Pibb, bro. It's Mr. Pibb compared to Coca-Cola.
One of the kids at my school told me to call you light-skinned brothers cheesecake. So your cheesecake side is coming out.
Cheesecake, man.
Yeah, the cheesecake side is coming out, bro.
Bro, if I'm going to be some cheesecake, I'm at least going to be the Detroit Cheesecake King cheesecakes. Holler at him if you ever want a cheesecake, by the way. His cheesecakes are delicious.
I'm also say this about the tournament. It was the first time, and you know what? We still didn't even get to see the match. We didn't get to see Josh versus Mauro Lopez.
That's true.
And that was a disappointment. I would have loved to see them play each other. They didn't even play each other in the Blitz.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't.
They split.
You sure?
They played last round.
Oh.
Okay. I missed that then.
Yeah, that's a real quick gospel point.
So that still don't give us an accurate, you know what I'm saying?
No, they didn't play eventually.
I mean, I'm sure you guys would agree, too. Like, I don't think one tournament, one game, one match off could really make, you know, that determination either. Like, International Master Tuya Shetty was saying, like, head-to-head is one way to evaluate, you know what I'm saying, strength. But it's not the total story.
To me, it's the only story.
Really, bro?
If I stay beating on your ass consistently, I'm stronger than you.
But what if you lose to the people that they beating all the time?
I'm just talking about me and you.
But that has to do with y'all too. Like, okay, let me get you, but they beating you.
We playing basketball. Every time Tim check me, I know I'm going for 40.
Come on, man. No, that don't mean the same, bro.
To me, it mean the same. Head to head.
Man, that don't mean the same.
Okay, let's use it in boxing. Every time we fight, I'm knocking your ass out.
Okay, but what if you also getting knocked out by the people that I'm knocking out? So now what does that mean?
They're a better fighter than me, and I'm a better fighter than you.
Come on, man. Like I said, to me, that's one way to measure whatever strength, greatness, but...
That's the only way?
No, it's not. There's other things. In terms of chess rating... Performance versus other rating, performance against, you know what I'm saying, other opponents, titles, championships, like, there's a lot of other metrics, bro.
Nah, head to head, bro.
Boo.
Head to head, it's the only way on chess, head to head.
Bro, head to head is so 1800s, bro. Like, we in the age of advanced statistics and, like, analytics, bro. Like, it's way more ways to evaluate what's going on between two players, two teams.
If it say my name and your name, and it got a whole bunch of L's under your name and W's under my name when we can beat, I sleep better at night. I'm better.
Okay, but why? You know that styles make fights. it could just be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got this dude's number with something about, like, they opening or something about, like, y'all two styles combined. Like, that don't just mean you just flat out better, bro, just because, like, you got a better heads up record against them.
Nah, bro, I'm taking the heads ahead, bro.
Joe, man, what you think, dog? Because I feel like I done made my case.
This nigga tripping. I'm talking about the heads ahead. Joe probably doing something. Chess, right? War game. Me versus you, right?
Yep.
Right, Chef?
Real, yep.
Stats. We gonna look at our record like we do. We look at our record versus our opponent. Or we look at our numbers against rating groups. It's the only way.
Bruh, if we is back in middle school and we fight, you beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fight somebody else, I beat them.
Right.
And then you fight the person that I fought and they right. whoop you.
Right.
You can't tell me that you still better than me because when we fought, you beat me, but you just lost to the person that I beat up.
Basically, I whooped your ass and you whooped my ass.
So I'll be looking at you like, bruh, you weak. I just beat him up. He beat you up. You just got lucky. That's how I'm looking at you now.
But if I'm constantly whooping up you every time we fight.
Okay.
Okay. Like, one day you get a black eye. Next week, I break your leg. You see what I'm saying? Third day, we just go to the gun play. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. But let's say on this same playground, I'm 50 wins and 4 losses. All my 4 losses is to you. But your record overall is like 28-28. Like, you beat me 4 times, 24 other people, but you also lost 28 times. You still better than me?
Yeah.
Man, heck you know, bro.
You a guaranteed W.
For some reason, when we lock in, yeah, that's the way it's shaped out. But if I'm 50-4, you 28-28, bro, you average. You lucky. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, you, my record is 4-0 against you.
4-0 against me, but against others, it's whatever. It's a losing record.
No, bro.
All right, no, man. Bro. Well, I guess we're gonna agree to disagree.
Chess is a war game.
It is a war game. We can put this in terms of countries too.
Go ahead.
If country A and country B go to war and country A wins, okay. And then country B fights country C, but country B wins, but then country C beats up country A. You can't tell me that country A is better than B because country A just lost to somebody that B just beat.
Consistency. If I'm consistently whooping up your tail, I'm better.
Not necessarily, bro.
Okay, let me give you an example there, right? We're gonna go back to the return of the Titans.
I'm gonna give you an example too, but okay, go ahead.
Okay. Madness and Moro for like the last month, I think they didn't play 4 times,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
The score is 3-1 Moro.
Okay.
Moro the better chess player.
Bruh, here's why I think your argument is also invalid. And that is because there's probably somebody who has a winning record against Bobby Fischer or a winning record against Garry Kasparov, let's say. Or maybe even Magnus, even though I actually don't think that's probably the case. But let's just say, if somebody got a winning record against any 3 of those people, you can't tell me that they the better player, bro. I'm still probably going to say no. Bobby Fischer is better than that person. I don't care how many wins he got against him. Bobby Fischer is the better player. He might just got his number for some reason, but you're not going to convince me that that man or woman, but most likely man, is a better player. You're not going to convince me of that, bro. So what do you got to say about that one?
My logic is I'm whooping on you. I'm a better player, bro.
You didn't address the situation I just presented you, though. If somebody got a winning record against a world champion of chess, okay, and maybe if Joe was still here, he could actually bless us with the actual facts on who these people might be, okay? Just because that happens don't mean you can't tell me that they better than him. Like, let's say, for example, if Yasir Seirawan has a winning record against Anatoly Karpov, let's say that.
Right.
You're not going to sit up here and convince me that Yasir Seirawan is a better player than Karpov. I don't care what. It could be 100-1. And I'm still going to say, no, Karpov, the better player. He just have trouble with him individually for some reason.
But so anyway. He's better. When they meet up, he's better.
But anyway, man. All right. Guess we're going to keep disagreeing, man. What we talk about next, man?
I want to talk about this Dominic and Joseph stuff. I don't care what he's talking about. What you think?
All right, so this Dominic and Joseph stuff, man, kind of just sprung up out of nowhere. I mean, to me, it's not even serious. But, you know, so as a result of this tournament, you know, unfortunately, instead of this tournament creating another black expert from Detroit, we technically kind of lost a black expert from Detroit as Joseph Gassin's rating has dipped below 2,000 for the first time in probably like 10 or 15 years. So it didn't drop by much, but it's like, what is it, 1994? And so, yeah, Dominic, I guess, you know what I'm saying, just was like, you know what, I'm going to be the one to kind of go ahead and just, you know what I'm saying, just let it be known that I saw that happen. And so they kind of been going back and forth in this group messenger. And I guess now that all the talk is who would win if them two were to, you know what I'm saying, play, especially for any kind of money on the line and stuff like that. And so there's some people out there actually debating what would happen and trying to see if that's something that could actually be set up.
Okay, so you two key people, who you taking?
Bro, I'm taking Joe, but I'm not saying it's going to be by a landslide, though. Because I say this because, although we don't really mention Dominic very much, I've seen him sparring with some of the strongest people here. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question. Have you saw him win and come up?
Well, when we say come up, that means win more games out of the series of games that they just played.
Exactly.
So I don't really know the counts. I don't really know the counts. I don't really ever stick around long enough to know.
But have you heard on the circuit, though?
Have I heard on the circuit?
Like, Don B, this person. Don B, have you heard?
I mean, kind of yes and no, like I said. Like,
bro, that's a no for you, dog. That's bruh, pretty much where you're going.
I heard he was at the McDonald's beating on Mick. I don't know what the final count of that match was.
I told you was the final score.
Okay. Well, for the people listening, I was informed that the final score was Mick was up 5 games.
So now,
if they played, let's say, what, 20 games, and Mick won, what, let's say, okay, so obviously 10 and 10 is the half. Let's say, okay, so Mick would won. Well, you know what I'm trying to say, bro. If whatever the total score was, Mick got 5 more points. They could have played, you know what I'm saying, whatever, 45 games. And, you know, whatever, Mick won 25 and Dom won 20. Like, that, to me, that's still good.
No, that's an L and Mick taking a W.
Okay.
You answered my question. On the chess circuit, who have you heard him? And that's my man, both of them. Who have you heard him beat?
Yo.
Man, hello.
I've just heard him going back and forth with a lot of people. And yeah, I've heard that he's won some big money at Chicago Open or World Open or both or something like that.
So okay, if we could just look at the career then. His career highlight is placing second in the Chicago Open.
Okay.
Then you look at Joe's career.
Mm-hmm.
So far, who you gonna take? That's what I'm saying. Who you gonna take?
The long journey. Bro, obviously, I love Joe's career way more than I love Homeboy's career. But like I'm saying, bro, if we talking about a blitz match, and we was already just talking about how that's the doctor
7-3, Joseph.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yep, 7-3.
Man, I'll probably go. You say out of 10 games?
7-3.
I say Dom might could get 4, man. I say 6-4.
The blow is good in Southfield.
Yo.
Yeah, we hear you, Joe.
Oh, nigga.
The blow is good at Southfield.
I keep getting disconnected for some reason. I'm not sure why.
We talking about you and Dominic, man. If y'all play,
I said I'll be Dominic ass. Up and down, 7, 8, 6, 5, 4, and 3 mile. Ain't even no 3 mile here. Four, five.
It is a 3 mile. It's around the corner for me, bro. It's a 3 mile.
Oh yeah, you talking about 3 mile drive,
Joe?
Yeah, put some respect on 3 mile,
Joe. You saying he won't get a game off you? Is that's the type of level of beatdown you talking about?
Nah, I ain't never disrespect nobody like that, but it'd probably be like 9-1.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, what's that? That's almost 300-point rating gap, bro.
Yeah, I definitely can adopt him for it.
Bro, okay.
Listen, I'm going to say this. Joe Hire and standard, blitz, and quick.
Hold on. First of all, next subject. Like, why are we even entertaining? Like, that's not even, like.
Bro, this is what we do. We debate, bro. We got to inform the fans.
Yeah, it gotta be something debate worthy, like me versus a fucking 1600. Like,
but blitz wise, I mean,
he's 1600.
He's still 1600, bro.
How on chess.com and Lee Chess, he's 1600?
Man, he ain't 2000 on nothing.
Online chess rating don't mean nothing. Ain't like me 2000 online.
Yeah, I'm taking 2000 online.
I'm just saying, man, we don't have like all these blitz tournaments in Detroit like Chicago people do. So okay, how can anybody get their blitz rating up around here?
Man, I think, honestly, your standard rating is probably about as close as you're going to get to, like, your blitz rating. Like, some people might be maybe 100 points higher blitz rating than standard if they play a lot of blitz, but your standard rating is pretty much a true, like, strength of what you are. So if he's 1600 and standard, that means he's more likely to blunder and blitz.
But we know that standard ratings don't always tell the truth, too, man. We know that some people are at least, you know, thought to be potential sandbaggers. Keep my rating as low as possible so that if a big event comes, then I can jump in there and try to win the money.
Yeah, so Dominic is not the case of a sandbagger. So my understanding, if you 1600... To consider yourself a sandbagger, you should be at least maybe expert strength. Dominic's not expert strength. Flat out. I might give him 1,800, 1,700 at the most, but he's not. He might not even win his section in Chicago to be playing, to be honest.
Shots fired.
Like a sandbagger, like I said, they're going to win their section. Like I wouldn't like just be confident that he was. Like he could win it, but if he don't win it, it wouldn't shock me. Like,
Shots fired.
Ain't no shots fired. I'm gonna tell the truth.
Now we need some sound effects for this podcast. We need like a bazooka.
I'm putting my AK-47 in the background.
We need a bazooka shell going off. We need landmines.
So why you think he dodged both tournaments? He was up there pretty long.
Who,
bro? It's man. He gave me like all type of excuses. I don't know which ones to believe. I know he got students playing in the tournaments. He probably don't want to lose to his students. He thought he was going to be playing in the invitational section, but as we just mentioned, his rating is not high enough to play in that section. He turned out, ended up having to take one of his students home, which apparently kind of came out of left field, and so he wasn't even supposed to be there that long anyway. Like, oh, his membership was expired, but we actually found somebody very generous who was willing to pay for his membership as well as his entry fee, so that wouldn't even really be a problem no more. And so after all of that, and it's probably a couple that I'm not even remembering, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, at the end of the day, like, he didn't play. Oh, that's the other thing, too. Like I said, he actually did tell me that he wanted his ratings to pretty much be where they were so he could go and play in a big tournament and win real money. Because obviously our money that we was having was, you know, it was really pocket change at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But it was based on the number of entries that we had or whatever. But, you know, compared to like, yeah, a national tournament, you know, chump change. But, you know, that was one of the things that he threw down too. So out of all these reasons that he gave and others gave, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, it's going to be between them and the Lord why, what the real reason why they ain't, you know, saying jump in. But all I know is I thought, it, you know, some people, especially the folks who was just hanging around anyway, they probably should have just went ahead and got in.
I mean, Big Ugly Aaron didn't play.
Right. He didn't have an updated membership.
You talking about somebody that's not in the circuit. Aaron ain't played tournament game probably about 15 years.
I'm just saying, so we give them, I mean, because there's a lot of them up there that don't play.
That's my thing. Like, the people that's not active, don't trash talk, don't say nothing, that just mind their business, the Aaron, the Price, the Coach Barnett, they cool. So I'm talking about these people that's actively engaging in, you know, the trash talk, like people that wanted to be a part of the Detroit versus Chess event, but their rating was too low. Dominic, sorry to mention name again, because I don't even know why I mentioned name, but like guys like that, that want to be a part of something.
He's still at that McDonald's waiting for you.
Yep.
I text him. Price, he still ain't responded. I thought I ain't about to go.
Bro, we had somebody that said they'll put $1,000 on Dominic versus you.
And I told Rob, where, and I love it. Rob still had me.
He said, I got a thaw wow, a cool thaw wow on my man Damo.
Man, let's talk about the Blitz tournament. After the regular tournament was over, we had a tie between Rohan and Josh in the Invitational tournament. I still want to open. So let's talk about the Blitz tournament. What you think? You know how that went and how it turned out. Tim.
Yeah, I think the Blitz tournament went really good, man. You know, when we were brainstorming and kind of figuring out, you know, the format for it, I think, you know, that actually panned out well. We decided to do a 5-round, double round Swiss, where basically you play each opponent once with white, once with black. And then, you know, so basically 5 rounds of doing that. And so, yeah, 10 games total. And by the end, we did, in fact, have some separation at the top and a clear winner, which was FIDE Master Josh Posthuma. Second place overall was John Brooks, and then FIDE Master Rohan Talukdar was right there at third place. He had a very quiet third place finish. Like, literally, people was just like, I don't even think he did that good. I'm like, well, he finished in third. I mean,
but who got off on him, though? Who got off on him?
I mean, I felt like, okay, so you, he split a match with you.
He beat everybody. That's what I'm saying. I got off on him.
He split a match with you. He may have split with somebody else too. I'm not sure.
Hey, I got half point off him.
So yeah,
he won the set though.
Half point here, half point there. But I don't think.
Okay, my question is: okay, you said third place is Rohan. Who was fourth?
I
don't got the cross table in front of me. I could pull it up though.
I think it was Moral.
Joe, they all had six.
Yeah, I think it was me and Moral that was fourth.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that sound about right.
This thing was good, but whatever.
Yeah,
somebody else was six too.
We had 16 people, 10 of which had Blitz ratings or classical ratings over 2,000. I thought that was insanely strong.
You know what's crazy about it though? Everybody, if you look at the cross tables, everybody Blitz ratings is like 200 points less than their regular rate.
That's because Detroit don't have enough Blitz tournaments.
Yeah, like Rohan Blitz rating is like 2,000, I think. Like 2,090 or something.
Right. So,
like,
yeah,
he's 2,400 FIDE.
2,100.
Yeah, he's 2,400 FIDE. I think Josh had a low Blitz rating, like 2,300. He's 2,400. Rock and Reg, me and Cam was all like 1,900 in Blitz.
Bro, Derek's FIDE Blitz rating is 200 points higher than his USCF Blitz rating.
Hey, my man, quit putting me out there, bro.
Bro,
what the hell wrong with you, dog?
Derek got a FIDE rating of over 2,000, but his USCF rating only like 15 something.
I told them light skinned boys.
I told you, bro. Detroit need more Blitz tournaments, and guess what? Eastside Detroit Chess Club is gonna
Joe,
be.
Joe, did you hear this man just snitch on me though?
He just drafted it.
Yeah, man.
That's that Eastside stuff. I told you.
You got some Kodak Black in you, bro.
Bruh. I actually, no, I ain't gonna say that on wax. I'll tell you off the air or something.
Yeah. Don't do that, man.
But yeah, man. But the Blitz tournament was fun too, man. We even had a little bit of drama.
You know what I'm saying? A little bit of drama, but it wasn't nothing too crazy. But
it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
You know, it was definitely some moments of, you know, some mates getting slammed down, some pieces getting slammed down, you know, flags falling, dual flags falling. It was nice. And I think you know, the pace of it, you know what I'm saying? We were trying to hurry up and get the rounds paired so it wouldn't be too much downtime in between and everything like that. Like, I think it went really good.
You know, the funniest thing about the Blitz tournament to me?
What's that?
Me and Cam played the game. I don't know why it's funny to me. We literally played a positional game where both of us had like all 8 pawns.
Where what?
We all had like 8 pawns on the board and no exchanges being made like the first like probably like 7 minutes of the game.
Now why would y'all go and do something?
I don't know why we was in this. I don't even know what line we was in, but I'm sitting there laughing at the position. Like you can't even do nothing. Like all the pawns are still on the board. It's like pawn change every. You know what? It might be 7 pawns each. Yeah, I think it was 7 pawns each. We literally had a positional fucking battle on Blitz, and I'm sitting here just cracking up laughing at it.
So something else that stands out to me too is 2 things. One, when the tournament first started, John Brooks was pretty much the king of the hill. And then Josh, like, took off. And then so in order to try to, like, close the gap and make up ground, like, John Brooks 2-0'd somebody in the final round in order to, like, kind of come back and, you know what I'm saying, finish in second place. And then this other thing, kind of piggybacking off of what we was already talking about earlier, we had probably at least, I want to say 3, maybe 4 Skittles Blitz games taking place in the same building as we was doing the Blitz tournament. Like, not only the same building, like, literally a couple rows behind the tournament. Like, to me, that was just absolutely, like, I couldn't even understand that, like, really.
That's
like,
Detroit chess play.
Y'all right here, and y'all could be right here, like, trying to win some money, but y'all right here, though. So, that was another kind of a crazy thing, you know, that stood out to me or whatever. But I think we pretty much, or not, yeah, a lot of us kind of agreed, like, man, we got to do this more often. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we do this, you know?
Yeah, Return of the Titans 2 coming soon.
This is fun, yeah.
I mean, we can do it, bro. Often. Just getting them damn scary cats to play.
I was just about to say that, bro. I don't feel like we could call it Return of the Titans if the Titans ain't returning.
I was in there.
Bruh, so then it's just Titans. Because you already here.
Hey, I did bad in the regular tournament, but I was putting hands and feet on people on the Blitz. So nobody said.
The Titans chess tournament, because Return to the Titans would indicate that if some Titans who wasn't playing, is that's going to get back to playing.
Mike Harris came out of retirement.
That's true, he did. Shout out Mike Harris, man. He did come back.
Al Steel came out of retirement.
I still kind of already was a little bit out of retirement because he played you in the cage match.
His brother.
We already talked about that on the pod. Our listeners know that you knocked his hat piece on straight and you knocked that Bluetooth out his ear.
Yeah. He owed me $33.
No, but he did win the open section, though, man. He blamed it. Al Steel.
Oh, yeah.
He was 4-0 that boy.
And lost it all betting on Michigan State.
Dang. Let's get to these
closing arguments, man. Which y'all want to close this out with?
I want to close this out with my man Joe Gasson done took us to church today. He got up there and, you know what I'm saying, he delivered some truth, you know what I'm saying?
We know Daniel Jones ain't never be the master, and they calling him God.
Yep. And we also know that he ain't mentioning quite a few people names. He done removed quite a few pairs of buffs up off of some of Detroit's chess players' faces. And man, he basically let us know, man, you know what I'm saying, how he feeling today, bro. And like I said, I can't argue with the man. I feel the same way, man. And like I said, it wouldn't even come close if it was coming from me. Like, the fact that he say it, like, that's got some weight on it. So we're gonna have to see how people you know what I'm saying, trying to respond to that.
Joe, close us out.
I mean, I honestly could care less how they respond. They feel a certain way. Step up and play. I mean, that's all I can say, though. Step up and play. Like, quit calling ourselves the best in Detroit, top killer, all that other stuff. Step up and play, man. When the time is right, step up and play.
Yes, sir. On that note, you be hearing from us again. Either Joe gonna have a black eye or he can dish out some black eyes. I'm gone, man. Peace.
We out this thing.